So I was going to do a sermon this week on heaven. And quickly, I got the curveball. I mean, when I mean quickly, I mean like Friday. And I'm like, good night. Like, what do I need to do? What do I want to do? I mean, I had this sermon on heaven. I've been chewing on it for weeks. And I'm like, man, this is good. This is good. But then God was like, man, I kind of want you to do something else. I want you to save heaven for next week to kind of conclude our Planet Earth series. And so I'll start thinking, I'm like, man, so what I'm going to do, what I'm going to teach on, I'm searching the scripture, I'm praying. And God kind of laid it on my heart, like, let's have a good time today. And I'm like, what does that look like? And just searching my heart. And I was thinking, when was the last time or even the first time that I came to a sermon, a Sunday morning sermon, and it was just dedicated, of course dedicated to God, but dedicated just to laugh? I'm thinking, I'm like, never. I've never done that. And then God goes, yeah, you see what I'm doing there? I'm like, okay. So I'm calling Dennis, and I'm like, Dennis, I need your help on this one, man, because I just want to laugh on Sunday morning, but I know I'm goofy. I mean, that's just me. But how would it come across? I mean, what would the congregation, you know, say of, like, you know, what would they say? Like, man, I didn't come over here to laugh. Like, no, you just preached the word of God, and let me just sit here stone-faced and bored, you know? But I asked Dennis, I'm like, Dennis, what am I supposed to do in this? Because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And of course, God was like, well, brother, you just do whatever God tells you to do. You know, I mean, you know, that's what Dennis would say, of course. But he said that he sat in sermons where they laughed from beginning to end. He goes, as long as it doesn't take away from the gospel. And I'm like, Lord, kill me before I come up here and my goal is not to administer the gospel. And so this morning, men and women, it's going to be a little different, maybe a little different from your normal sermons. And, well, if it's not funny, then that clearly tells me I need to do something different. But today we're just going to laugh. God reminded me of a story that I shared before, not here, but we're just going to laugh about we're going to laugh this morning. There is a science fiction author. He literally said this. I got to read it word for word. He says this. He says, now he's an atheist, and he says, I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have time to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. Then he said this. This struck me to the core. Excuse me. This struck me to the core. It said, for whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. And I'm like, but before we look and think about this guy and, like, you know, and throw stones at him, I grew up in a church like that. And I hope that this, oh man, I hope that this one doesn't go out there, because I'm sure people that I used to, you know, I was part of that church, they listen to this, you know. So, hey, so just press mute real quick. And so, y'all, I mean, I promise you, it was nothing but God. I'm like, I'm sitting there as a kid, and I'm like, this is easily the most boring service, attendance, gathering moment in my entire life. Terrible. The worst. But how many times have we ever attended a sermon like that, or a service? Sorry, Dennis, don't raise your hand. But have you ever really, I mean, you're young or whatever, and you attended like that, and you're like, man, put some seasoning on this meat. Like, this is a little boring real quick. And I have, and somebody must have taught this guy completely wrong. Do you have any idea what heaven is going to be like? Do you have any idea how much fun saints get? It just changed my game whenever I was in college. Being a saint and being a teenager, I'm just thinking, like, man, these sinners get to have fun. Like, this is awesome. And these saints, they just sitting down watching Matlock, you know, and Nick at Night forever. And this is terrible. And I quickly found out that wasn't the truth. Saints know how to party even more than those sinners. And I'm like, okay, saint, let's go. You know, and Today we're just going to have fun. It's fun. God created laughter. He created laughter. I bet you God cracked more jokes than anybody. Oh, man, I would hate to be on the butt end of a practical joke from Jesus, but I sure would love to see one, you know? Oh, speaking of, all right, so Halloween's coming up. Some of you all hadn't seen the video of Heidi scaring me, and so I think maybe in the next week or two I kind of show that or put it on my Facebook page or put it on New Beginnings Facebook page. And Heidi, you're lucky you're pregnant right now because I so get you. Well, look, I don't care. I'm going to get you back anyway. But I saw this video on planet Earth, and I died. In fact, I saw it years ago, and I'm still laughing. I probably watched it 7 or 8 times this week. So let's watch this video real quick.
Nighttime. Daytime. Nighttime. Daytime. Nighttime. Daytime.
What are you doing?
Having a game in nighttime, daytime. You want to play?
I don't know why, but I don't seem to have a lot of luck with women. I mean, I'm kind, I'm caring, I'm... No, it's a mystery, that.
Alan! 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 Al! Alan!
She's all neck and legs. Look at her.
Oh, I am looking at her.
Stop looking at her!
You just told me to look at her.
Ow!
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 Ow! That's right, I'd be throat, that.
John, I don't think we're allowed to wee here.
It's fine. Just keep a lookout. What was that? That was me zip.
Whoa! Where did all these come from? You know me, lads. I can't wee with an audience.
Alan! 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 Alan!
I'm Wolverine!
Rah!
I'm Sabretooth!
Wolverine!
Sabretooth!
Wolverine!
Sabretooth!
Wolverine!
Sabretooth!
You can't get me, I'm Wolverine!
Sabretooth!
Pack it in, you know I'm working nights.
Cheer up, Trev.
I'm all right, Bernie.
Here, gag for you. This fella and a giraffe walk into a bar. Giraffe goes to sleep on the floor. Farmer says, oi, what's that lion there? Fella says, it's not a lion, it's a giraffe.
Giraffe! You crap me up, Trev.
You just like to open wide, sir.
Okay.
You going anywhere nice on your holidays?
I think...
Yeah. Don't try and talk when my hands are in your mouth, sir. My wife and I are thinking of going abroad this year. Dudley. She's got family in the zoo over there. You got kids?
Yeah.
Please don't talk when my hands are in your mouth, sir.
Hi.
Could do with a fill-in here, actually, at the back. Is it mainly bananas you eat?
Bananas, yeah.
I won't tell you again, sir. Please don't try and speak when I'm working inside your mouth. Right, I'm just going to have a cheeky little taste. That's not bad, actually. Not what's done, just need to smell your breath. Oh, God, that is rank. I think I need to lie down. Oh, God.
Alan! 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 Al! Alan!
Excuse me, mate. I think you're in my stand.
Can't you just stand somewhere else, mate?
No, look, I've reserved this space here. Could you move?
No, I'm not moving. You move.
Are you going to move or not?
No.
Right. That's it.
Whoa! Get off!
Just move, will
you? You move!
Oh, just move!
You move!
Oh, move!
You move!
Move!
You move!
Move!
You move!
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 Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move!
Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move! Move!
Move! Move! Move! Move! Move!
This is your conscience, Sid.
What?
You've been a very naughty boy, Sid.
I ain't.
Leaving them banana skins on the floor so people slipped on them.
No, I didn't. The bin bag, it ripped.
Bin bags? To dispose of biodegradable banana skins? You
what?
Must be punished.
No.
Gets him every time.
Alan! 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 Al! Alan!
Yep, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, rabbit.
Shouldn't have had that 12th coffee. I can't even blink anymore, and I can hear my heartbeat in my ears. I don't get it. Mary had the same as me, and she went to bed hours ago.
Tell me about it. I tried to go to bed, but then I ended up bringing one of those late-night quiz thingies. Name something a woman keeps in her handbag.
What was it? A mouse?
That's what I said. Then I said phone, lipstick, taxi numbers.
What was the answer?
Spatula. They're just making them up now.
Ow!
Oh, Kevin, that's a lovely tribute.
Oh, so that's not Alan. Steve, that Steve.
Steve!
I love that video! I love that video! The people who wrote that, they give them an Oscar. That is awesome. But I lost it when I saw the beatboxing chipmunk. I promise you, man, I lost it. But anyway, sorry. But you know, it's just, you know, God created laughter. God wants us to laugh. In fact, and I think I skipped over it, but we're going to go back to it on the slides, whoever there in the back. Let's go to Genesis 21 real quick. We got that slide up. Genesis 21 says, back one more. All right. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And at that very time, God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah who bore him. Next slide. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him. So we're going to laugh about circumcision today, y'all. No, I'm just joking. And Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham, Mike Qualls, was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Mike isn't here right now. I really wanted him to hear that. But Isaac, in Hebrew, his name means he laughs. And so it was just completely crazy to them that God told Abraham and Sarah at their old age that they were going to bear a son. They were going to, you know, they were going to have a son. That was crazy. But God brought that into fruition. It actually happened. And can you just imagine them in their old age, and they're remembering their promise, and then they're pregnant, and Abraham looking at Sarah like, God is crazy, and they're laughing about it. And I bet you God was laughing with them. God, our God has a sense of humor, and God really, really wants us to laugh. In the Bible, it says that today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will have a good time. That's the deal about being glad. It's just not internally. You know, if my wife did something well, and she's sharing it with me, or if I experience, and I'm just looking at her like this. Yeah, that's cool. She goes, dude, like, aren't you happy? And I'm like, yeah, I'm rejoicing. Well, that internal rejoice needs to be externally. I mean, are y'all following me real quick? There's a story. It's a moment in time whenever I was little. Matter of fact, we got a picture of Little Richard up here. Look at this. Look at that guy. Third grade strikeout king. I mean, and I played for Hardy's team. Look at that guy right there. Look at that forehead. That's me and my sister. Look at that five head. I mean, that head is so big. When I didn't have dream, I had movies. I mean, look at that thing with the socks and the sandals and the ashy knees. But that guy, crazy, all right? And so so I'm going to introduce you to Little Richard Marks. And Little Richard Marks, I was that small whenever I was experiencing this. So after my mom and dad divorced, we moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And my mom and aunt, they worked. And so while they worked, we went to my grandmother's house, Sugars. Sugars, she came here whenever it was my first day being a pastor in New Beginnings. She was the lady with rings on every finger and wearing all purple and a big old hat. That's my crazy, beautiful grandmother. But we went to my grandma's house, and y'all, we didn't have too much money at all. We had nothing. And we lived directly in the middle of the hood, And so being in the middle of the hood, you see hood things. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm telling y'all this. So, thing that I loved about going to Sugar's house, she always gave us 50 cents. Always gave us 50 cents for ice cream, and the ice cream truck came every single day. And whenever you're thinking of an ice cream truck, this is what you're thinking about. A regular just ice cream truck. In fact, that's what I was thinking about. But that wasn't my ice cream truck in the ghetto. My ice cream truck looked more like this. Not even joking. I'm not even playing. Like, I can't make this stuff up. The ice cream truck was all decked out, nice rims on it. And normally, whenever you hear ice cream truck music, you think of something like this. Can y'all play that real quick? You got that ice cream truck song, right? I'm saying, right now, keep it going. Yep. And so, right now, I just really would love an ice cream cone with drumstick right now. I mean, doesn't that bring back good memories? I remember in the summer when the ice cream truck, you know, rolled through, you heard that music and you sprinted out. You're like, give me some ice cream. My ice cream truck didn't play normal ice cream truck music. My ice cream truck music in the ghetto sounded more like this. I'm not even joking, y'all. I cannot make this stuff up. And in fact, oh my goodness. And so anytime I heard rap music outside, I got excited, you know? And I'm like, ice cream! Come on. I mean, it just messed me up all of the time. And which I never understood. You can go and turn that off. Which I didn't understand because, like, ice cream music and rap music just don't mix. I mean, ice cream and rap, it just don't. I love hip-hop, but it just don't mix. I mean, especially like with gangster rap and stuff like that, there's nothing gangster about ice cream. Nothing. And I promise you, I tried it. I tried to look hard, I'm saying, to look tough with an ice cream cone. I mean, and you just think about the roughest, toughest dude, and they're like, yeah, it's my turf. What's up, man? What's up, man? What's up? Oh, come on in. What's up there? I mean, it doesn't work. It doesn't work out that way. And I promise you, y'all, this actually happened. And so hearing that music, you know, I got really excited. And, well, anyway, going back to Sugar. So Sugar's used to give us 50 cents. 50 cents to get ice cream. And back then, in the mid-90s, early 90s, you can get one or two things with 50 cents in ice cream truck. You can either get a strawberry shortcake, and a strawberry shortcake looked a little bit like this. Y'all know the strawberry shortcakes look like 50 cents. The things are absolutely delicious. Incredible. I mean, you know, you got ice cream, you know, strawberry ice cream on the inside and a layer just beyond that is vanilla ice cream. And then a layer after that is like this like cake and stuff like that sprinkled all over it. I mean, delicious was only 50 cents. I got strawberry shortcakes all of the time. But you can either get those or you can get two Bomb Pops. You might love Bomb Pop. Bomb Pop is easily my favorite popsicle of all time. I love me some Bomb Pops. So you can either get two Bomb Pops or a strawberry shortcake. And I got the Bomb Pops more than anything because in my mind, I'm like, I'm getting two of them. And again, y'all, this is a 100% true story. I'm not making a cent of this stuff up. And I got so many Bomb Pops then that all my homeboys and homegirls, they used to call me Bomb Pop Boy. I promise you, because I get my Bomb Pops and then I stick them in my pocket and I had, you know, a lot of times I wore short shorts or whatever. And so you got one Bomb Pop here and one Bomb Pop there. And I would just have my Bomb Pops and I mean, it was awesome, you know, and I just whip those things out and they're like, oh, Bomb Pop Boy, Bomb Pop Boy. I am convinced that many people didn't even know my name back then. They just knew me by Bomb Pop Boy. But there was one thing on the menu that I just wanted more than anything in the entire world that all my homeboys was getting. It was called a Choco Taco. Anybody know what the Choco Taco is? Oh, Lord Jesus. Come on now. I'm be sure when I get to heaven, God's going to be like, welcome home, son. Splack out, Choco Tacos, you know? Have at it. I'll be over here. You know? And so anybody know what the Choco Taco is? So just imagine a regular taco. And it's and for the shell, don't think of the shell being like a corn flour tortilla. Think of it being like a waffle cone, you know, in a taco, you know, in a taco shape, okay? And inside, instead of putting meat in there, you put ice cream. You load that ice cream up, thick ice cream. And where the meat, where the cheese and the tomatoes and the jalapenos, whatever you put on it, you put like chocolate drizzle and swirl ice cream with peanuts on top. It was delicious. Well, I didn't know at that time. Choco tacos were $2.50, all right, $2.50. So all I had to, and every day, religiously, my grandma gave me 50 cents. Now, I could have easily just saved from Monday, you know, and not got anything to Friday, but in my mind, I mean, saving, I mean, like, for what? I'm about to get my ice cream right now. But one day, I got tired, and I was like, forget that. I'm going to get me a Choco Taco, and I'm going to get it today. The problem was I only had 50 cents. This is where the meat of the story comes through. And so my grandmother, she's in the bathroom. And if you know anything about old people, they stay in the bathroom forever. So my grandma was in the bathroom, which seemed like an eternity. So I kind of looked, and I saw she was in the bathroom. I'm like, My cousins and my sister were outside. I had, you know, three girls who would tell if I just sneezed differently. I mean, they snitched on me all of the time. So I made sure they were not only in the front yard or, you know, but way, way, way far away. But I went in my grandma's room, and she had a huge bowl. It was like a huge ashtray, and it was all like silver, you know, coins in it. I mean, no pennies whatsoever. It was just dimes, nickels, and quarters. And I'm like, ooh. I mean, you just heard like the hallelujah song come out through it. I mean, it was like no dust, no spot on the bowl. I just knew it. And so what I did, I looked around and I made sure. And I even put my ear to the door where my grandma was, you know, just to make sure she was just rustling around in there. I don't know what I was listening for, but I came in there. I went in the room. I looked and I just went, whoosh, as much as like a 6-7-year-old palm could have, a change could have, a hand could do it. And I just put it in my little short. I remember I had short Mickey Mouse shorts on, really, really short Mickey Mouse shorts, so much that the change was so heavy, like, you know, the stitching of the pocket was going out of the bottom of my shorts, right? It looked pretty weird. And so, you know, and I hurry up, got in, I ran outside. And so the whole day waiting for, you know, the ice cream truck, you know, I'm playing like this, you know, and I was, you know, I didn't want to pick it up and hide it somewhere. I mean, I just had it all in my pocket, because if my sisters or cousins, if they would have heard the clinging of the coins, then they would have just told on me. I would have got in trouble, blew my cover. Well, I'm just sitting, I'm waiting for the ice cream truck to show up. Every rap song with a car playing a rap song and whenever they came, I got really excited and it wasn't. And I'm serious, it one day out of any time that I can ever remember, any day, that ice cream truck didn't show up, and it was a Friday. The ice cream truck didn't show up. My mom pulled to the curb, said what's up to my grandma. They were in a hurry. And so all of us piled in to the car, and we drove home. I didn't have a chance to put the money back in the ashtray. So I'm just sitting there kind of all quiet, sitting in the car. We pulled up to the house, and I kind of like snuck over there. You know, and I just immediately just stuck it, you know, like in a corner somewhere where nobody can see it. And so I'm like, well, Monday, I'm about to have all of this money plus 50 cents. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. Well, I mean, I'm, you know, 6-7 years old. I just wanted to play with my coins. I just wanted to, you know, count how much money that I had. So looking, I go in the corner where everybody's doing their business. And so I'm going and I'm laying on my stomach with my feet up and I'm just counting $25, $50, $75, $2, $3. I had like $5 worth of coins. I thought I was rich. And then something bad happened. And so I just hear, boy, where'd you get that money from? You know, I just turned around like, and it was my mom. Oh, boy. Now, it's okay. I had to lie immediately. I had to lie for him. You know, you think about it, men and women. Whenever you find loose change, where is like one of the first things you find loose change at? What'd you say? The house, I mean, underneath the couch cushions. At least that's what I was wondering. I was hoping y'all said, but that's what I said. So I had this, I rehearsed this lie. And so I told my mom, like, yo, I found this under the couch cushion. So my mom, you know, she didn't take that. She didn't take that bait. She goes, boy, don't you be lying to me. Where you find that money? Well, I didn't have a plan B lie. Yeah, look at that guy. Doesn't he just looks like, I mean, he'd tell a good lie? No. And so my mom says, so where you get that money? And I didn't have a plan B lie. And for those who have little kids, you know when they know they're about to get in trouble, because immediately they start looking guilty, because the first thing they do, like you can see like the eyes well up and the cry to start. And so me, if you were anything like me, then my first stage to cry, my breathing is all jacked up. I feel like I'm having an asthma attack. And so my mom said, where you get that money? I'm like, and then, you know, you're trying to talk while you're breathing like that. So you're stuttering. You're like, and then I'm like, Mama, I stole it from Sugars. And she just stared at me. And I knew what was coming. It was a good old-fashioned whooping. All right? Now, for those who hadn't got a whooping today, well, for those who grew up without whoopings, that's why you're terrible right now. Hey, that's a quote for the website today, huh? All right. And so I just knew the whooping was going to come. And so now normally if you're anything like my family, my mama, you know, go outside, which is torture. Go outside and give me a switch. That's like telling somebody, your executioner telling you, hey, go pick your weapon of choice where you're going to die with. You know, so my mom goes, go, but my mama didn't do that this time. In fact, side note, well, my mama always said, go give me a belt. You know, I used to go and you know, mom was a woman's woman, and she had like a whole, it was like you're going into the closet and you're seeing all of these belts. It was just like going to a butcher, like a cow going into a butcher shop, you know? I mean, you're seeing all of these weapons. And so I would pick the skinniest rope belt or whatever, which only made my mom like, two times as angry, and she had to go and get the big old thick belt with the rhinestones, but sorry, I digress. And so my mom leaves the room. She stomps out fast, and I'm like, oh, man, you know this is bad that she can't even wait. She about to go pick out the belt herself. And she comes out with a phone, a cordless phone. Then I start getting confused. I'm like, you know, I was a rough kid growing up. I'm like, I done got whooping with a many of things. I mean, wooden spoons, fly swatters, house shoes, extension cord, my big sister, TVs. I mean, I got whooping by everything. I ain't never got no whooping by no phone before. And she hands me the phone, and she just erects her hand. You call Sugars right now. Oh, no. Now I'm like a forced confession. So I remember I picked up the phone. I remember the phone number to this day, 901-775-2661. And so I call the phone, and again, my breathing was all jacked up, and Sugar's like, hello. I mean, if you ever talk to my grandma, she has the most friendliest voice until she's mad, and you're like, where did that lady just go to? But I'm calling her, and I'm like, Sugar's, she's like, what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, she's thinking like something happened to my mom or something like that. She's like, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I'm like, Sugars, I stole money from you. And then I heard silence on the other end of the phone. Now, my mama didn't play because her mama didn't play and so on and so forth. I come from generations of women that didn't play. They didn't like that. And so, Sugars quiet for a while, and I'm just waiting to experience the wrath of Sugars. Then my grandmother throws a curveball. Sugars says,
"It's okay, baby. I was gonna give that to you anyway. I love you."
Which made me cry even harder. I'm like, I'm just really crying out of relief because I didn't want to get a whooping by Sugars. Oh no, I didn't want to get a whooping by Sugars. And you saw my mom, you were just standing there like, yeah. I mean, you moms know when you know that your child is supposed to get in trouble, but the grandmas like save them. Marsha, I'm looking directly at you. All right? Amy, tell me I'm lying. Come on now. You know, and I can see it right now. Well, can't Evie just come over once, right now? Tell me I'm lying, Amy. You know I'm not, right? And so my mom was just waiting for it. It was like my mom was with a joy. She was like, oh, yeah, he's about to get a whooping, and I ain't going to do it. That's what I'm talking about, mama. But that didn't happen. And so my grandma, she got tired of me crying and sneezing and everything in the phone. So she hands the phone to, you know, she tells me to hand the phone to my mom. So I hand the phone to my mama, and my mama like, yeah. My mom's like, when can I bring him over so he can get beat up? So, and then I hear my mom go, wait, what? No, mama, no. He deserves to get in trouble. He stole. Like, we got to discipline him in this. No, no. And then, my mom quickly realized who she was talking to. She was like, man, no. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, mama. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then internally, I'm like, you know, so my mom, she hangs up the phone and she looks at me. And then she says those infamous four words. Boy, go give me a switch. Five words. Go give me a switch. And so now I still got a whooping that day. It was terrible. But I would rather got a whooping from my mama and my grandma. She got that old people, rural Mississippi strength, all right? Now, but it was a reason why God brought that to my attention. You know, I mean, that happened, you know, like 20 plus years ago, you know, 24, 25 years ago. And there's a reason why I remember that right now. And so not too long ago, we were just sitting and we're talking, yeah, all for that, the Choco Taco. Thanks a lot, Choco Taco. And so I'm sitting down with my grandma, and she remembers that story. And I'm like, Sugars, like, if Maggie or Violet ever stole, you know, from my mama or whatever, like, I would encourage my mama, like, come on, mom, you got discipline. You got to get them. Like, come on now. You can't let this one slide. And my grandma said, like, you're my grandson. I didn't need to do that right now. I love you. I love you. I didn't need to. And then she just kept on telling me how much she loves me now, you know. Now she did say, like, make no mistake, you better not ever steal from me, boy, you know. But she just kept saying how much she loved me. But so I'm telling you that crazy story to communicate something really, really simple. For you saints, you all know this already. But I'm communicating to this to you so you can be reminded, so we can start remembering this. You are children of God. And because you are children of God, you are saved from the wrath of God because you are his child. The reason why my grandmother didn't let me experience that wrath of God, because she loved me. That's it, because she loved me. Let's go to John 1. In John 1, it says, yet to all who did receive him, and saints, if you know Jesus Christ, if you submit to his pursuit, if he is the Lord over your life, then you have received him. Yet to all who did receive, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not out of natural descent. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter who your mom and dad was. It doesn't matter how successful or how much they failed. It doesn't matter. Nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And God loves is children. Make no mistake, men and women. Before you received Jesus, you were enemies of God, and God was not your father. He was your creator, but he was not your father. But for those who know him, he's there. And he's madly in love with you, y'all. And I'm not going to add on to that more. Just take time to realize how much you are loved and how much you are cared for. Maggie and Violet, whenever they were in pain, if they're in pain, I'm there. If they start tripping, I'm there. When they're happy, I'm there. When they're sad, I'm there. Whenever they're confused, I'm there. Whenever they're enlightened, I'm there. Even when they don't want me there, I'm there. And I'm sinful. And I did not die for anybody's sins. In fact, if I was in that position, I would have failed miserably. But I'm that much there for my children. And I ain't going nowhere. Ain't no mountain high enough. I'm there. Now, if I am capable of that, just imagine God who knows no sin. There's no mistakes. He's all perfect. He loves you. Can you just imagine how much he's there? The word tells us that he would never leave us nor forsaken us. He is there in every millisecond of your life. And he loved you so much that he experienced the wrath of his father so you wouldn't have to. So, concluding, for those who don't know Jesus Christ, we're not gonna just lay it all out. We're not just gonna complicate this. It's simple. God loves you. He wants you to be with him forever. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly, didn't sin one time, and the punishment for your sins is for you to be in hell forever. He experienced separation from God so you wouldn't have to. And he wants you to be his child. And how do you do that? You don't have to say a long sentence or anything like that. Just say, God, if you're there, which he is, I'm ready. Just forgive me. I'm ready. Prayer team, if you can come up. And everybody, if we can stand real quick. For the men and women who just want to be reminded how much God loves you, this is for you. And we can smile and we can have, we're going to go to heaven one day, and let me be quiet because I know next week we're going to talk about heaven and we're going to get there. But the beautiful things, we're going to be with him forever. And so be reminded of that. And if for you people who don't know Jesus Christ, come up here and we will lead you. We will lead you. Just come up here. And if you feel in your heart that you need to respond to the gospel, if you feel in your heart that you wanted to submit to God, just come up and we will be more than happy to lead you to our Heavenly Father. Amen. So, saints, whenever you leave, you laugh, you rejoice. This is indeed the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it and know that this isn't your home. We're going to be in heaven one day with a God where there's going to be endless laughter, endless joy. And I want everybody in here to experience that. If you don't know him, come up. And if you do know him and you just need to be reminded, prayed for, come up. We're here for you. Love you all.